Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad to have you join with me today for a nice hot cup of Joe. And this morning, I am broadcasting from a remote location in a deer stand that we call Jerry's Clubhouse. First little sips of coffee out of my thermos, and it is nice and quiet. I'm actually hearing the first car somewhere off to the north, but sitting in a converted, like, Walmart Kids Jungle Gym that has a roof and walls on it. My old hunting friend, Jerry Nickum, he built this from the jungle gym of his backyard and has it. He asked if he could put it out here many, many, many years ago. And it has been a good hunting spot. Several deer have been harvested out of it. Unfortunately, Jerry's no longer with us, but his memory does live on. He was a passionate deer hunter. I first started hunting with him. He hunted with my cousin Don, and back in the 1990s, and my dad was hunting with him, and then I joined the bunch sometime in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. Got my first deer in 98, but Jerry, every year he had some new toy. It may have been a new gun. Actually, several times I think it was a new gun or a new ammunition. I remember one where it was, I don't recall the type of ammunition. I shoot cheap ammunition. I don't go for the fancy high-end stuff. But I think it was like $10 a deer slug. And it's like, man, that is too expensive for me. But it was kind of like, hey, all you need is one. Oh, he had, I think he was the one who started us using the Walmart walkie-talkies. And one year, I think it was in 2000, he had a headset that for it. And I think that's when I dubbed him the high-tech redneck. Oh, but no, Jerry had a lot of fun hunting with him. At coffee break, he always had a good story, and he would get so excited in his eyes, and he would be describing it with his hands, and his hands would almost shake. He would just get so excited. And I remember one time, my son Aaron was with me, and we were hunting. He was just a little guy. Well, wasn't too little, but he was still little compared to now. And got a call from Jerry. He was down the river bottom, and he needed help retrieving a deer. And so we headed down there, and he had shot it out of a stand right along, pretty close to the little Wabash River. And he said it dropped down into the riverbed. Or ran down there, and he didn't notice it get out or anything, so he figured it was down there, so he's just going to let it, you know, lay there and die, and then we, you know, retrieve the deer. So we get down there to where he saw it drop down, and nope, it wasn't down there. And it's like, where could it be? And then we saw where it had gone up the other side. And so we crossed the river there. It wasn't too deep by any means. It was pretty much sandbars at that part. So we get up on the other side, and we see the deer tracks, and we see some blood, so we're following, and it's a little bit of uneven ground. It's frozen, as I recall, or else it was very dry, but it had been plowed and was a little bit rough, and it was a little uneven. So as we're walking, we're not seeing anything, but then we get to a point where we can look over a little rise in the ground, and there was the deer, and it saw us, and it was a short chase, but it was not fun pulling the deer back. across that ground and across dropping down and across the riverbed and then up the other side to where his four-wheeler was. So, but you know what? Those lead to fun stories that we would swap and tell at coffee break. Those were neat times. Having that little brotherhood of the Orange Hat Club, as I call it. If the girls can have their Red Hat Club back in the late 80s, early 90s, then I think we can have the Orange Hat Club. I had a friend who was so excited whenever she hit 50, because apparently that was like the starting age for the Purple Hat Club. Does anybody out there still remember that? You would have ladies that were well seasoned in life, and they would, like, once a month and some probably once a week, they'd put on red and purple hats and scarves, and they would go out to eat together. And it stems from a poem that was, you know, when something to the line of, you know, when I get old, when I don't care about what people think anymore, then I'm going to, you know, wear lots of red and purple or something along that line. It was a neat little poem, but that inspired this whole little, unfortunately, short-lived movement, I think, of the Red Hat Club. But yeah, my friend, she started a little local group, and I saw them a couple of times at restaurants. They'd meet for lunch and just have loads of fun. And I guess that's what we have with our Orange Hat Club. It's, again, as I dub it, you know, it used to be you would swap stories at the deer check station, but they close those all down and you just have to call in your number and describe things just online or, you know, over your phone calling in or what have you. And then you may swap stories at the feed store. I was up at Strasburg picking up a load of bulk feed for our chickens, and there was a couple of guys sitting in there and swapping stories. Wasn't necessarily deer stories, but they were getting together and having a good time. And other folks, they get together and swap stories at local restaurants. There was some older guys, not too much older than me, but older than me, and before we moved up to the farm and we had to come up and do chores with our goats and check on the cats and stuff, a lot of times I would leave at, you know, 5 a.m. to get up here so I could be back in town, you know, and cleaned up for going to work. And I would grab a breakfast burrito and a coffee from McDonald's drive-thru. And as I drove past, there I would see that group of 6 to 8 guys in there once a week. And they were enjoying their own coffee club. You know, that's something you used to see more of. You just don't see that much anymore. Whether it's on special weekends like this, or whether it's just every day, we've gotten isolated. We've gotten isolated with our phones. We've gotten isolated with, well, frankly, I take things back, and if you've listened to my podcast over the years, I have said that, or I have maintained that with the advent of air conditioning and television, our society's interaction with each other has greatly changed. Prior to that, when it was hot, you didn't sit in a hot house. You went out on your front porch. And you look at the old houses. They all had front porches. Okay, maybe not 100%. They had front porches, and they had trees in the front yard that you could sit under, and people did. And if you lived in town, then guess what you saw? You saw people sitting on the front porches and other people taking walks and stopping and visiting with their neighbors. Why? Because it was hot, and they just were getting outside. My grandmother, she had air conditioning in her house, But if it was, she didn't always run it. She only ran it whenever it was extreme heat. Otherwise, in the evening, she didn't have a front porch, but she had front steps. And she would sit on her front steps, and she had a little dog named Tony. He was half Pekingese, half Chihuahua. Had him on a little line out front, staked in the yard. And actually, I think it was tied to the railing going down her steps. And she would just sit there. And just, if some, you know, neighbors walked by, then she would, you know, say hi, and they would say hi. And that was because she was a widow. And she would visit that way with the people walking by on the street. I'll tell you, in her neighborhood, when they always had oiled roads when I was little. But I remember, I think I was in high school, and they put asphalt in her whole, in the entire subdivision. That was in Rolling Hills subdivision of Effingham. And once they got that laid, everybody was so proud, so tickled, that it was like the whole neighborhood that summer, they came out and they walked. They walked the neighborhood. Whole families would. It was the craziest thing. They didn't do it that much before, but then it was like that was, it was a new road. And I know Grandma got such a kick out of it. She didn't walk around the neighborhood, but she sat on her steps. She was probably, she was probably 80 years old or thereabouts at the time. And little Tony, he was a cute dog. He would bite you. He had food aggression. And I, as a kid, tormented him. And I got bit several times on the hand. But he was so cute because if he wanted attention, he would sit up. And he could sit up for real long periods of time. And whenever Grandma was sitting out on the porch, or even if he was just out in the front yard, he would go to the end of his leash, you know, his little line out there into the yard, and he would just sit up. And he would just look. And he would sit up for more than 10 minutes at a time. And as somebody walked by, he just followed them with his head. He didn't bark. He didn't do anything. He was just taking it all in. And that became, I mean, I think that was probably one of the reasons why when Grandma was sitting out that they would, you know, stop and visit, and they would initiate conversation by, look how cute that dog is. So when we also got television in most of the households, in the evenings, people didn't sit outside either. They didn't invite neighbors over for playing cards. They didn't, you know, have the cooking outside as much as they used to. Everybody became isolated. And what did they talk about? Oh, did you see that such and such show last night? Did you see this show? Now, granted, when there was a transition, when people were, you know, people who had enough money, they were transitioning to color televisions, while the rest of the people still had black and white till the price came down some. And so it was, if there was going to be a special on TV, if there was going to, because you only had really, not counting PBS, you had three channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, and those were the big networks that produced the television programs. There really wasn't independent producers. It was all, you know, network sponsored. And if there was something special going to be on, or a classic movie like The Wizard of Oz, can you imagine watching The Wizard of Oz, the whole thing, on a black and white television? No. I mean, it starts off black and white, and then it transitions to color as she goes into this magical universe of Oz. But but we would go over to my grandma's house, and she had a color television. And we went there, and we would watch. And other people I knew of that would go to different people's homes to watch color television. But then once everybody got it, everybody isolated in their own homes again. I think if we got rid of air conditioning, which I don't really want to have happen, and we got rid of television, which you'd have to get rid of smartphones, because I think people watch more video on smartphones than they do on the 55-inch televisions they have in their house. But if we got rid of that stuff, maybe we would interact more together. Maybe we would get together for coffee, get together for tea time, find ourselves visiting more with other people. There was a time when, goodness, when was it? It was in summer of 2006. We took a family vacation. It was a 2-week travel vacation, but we were spent a week in Tazewell, Virginia. That's where my family, the Quicksaw side of my family, lived during the early, it was in the early, I'm going to call it the early to mid 1800s. And they have a pioneer camp down there where they have collected a lot of log cabins. They have educational programs and they have a week-long day camp for kids that they call apprentice camp. And the kids get costumes. They're each issued a costume that they wear every day. So parents got to wash it every day too, because they do get dirty. And we took our kids down there, took Aaron and Jesse, and they had a blast, but it was hot that week. And of course, they didn't have air conditioning in log cabins, just the visitor center. So where did the kids go? Well, they had a spring house where there was a natural spring on the property, and they took stones and they built a demonstration spring house where it was all rock built up. You had a roof on it and they had a homemade concrete collection area where the water would come in and it flowed into a shallow trough, and then it kind of wind through some troughs like that, and then it went out to the creek that it formed. And people, what they did was, whenever they made butter, you put it in a crockery jar and you set it in the spring house in that cool shallow trough of water, and it kept it, you know, it was refrigeration for the time. Well, guess where all the kids were wanting to hang out for those hot days? They hung out in the spring house. And what did they do? They swapped stories. They told, you know, they did gossip. They did, you know, oh, he's cute or she's cute kind of stuff. I can see people doing that back in the time here, if people had a spring house, or if they, you know, had a larger cellar house where on really, really hot times people knew, oh, let's go over to their place. You know, there's at least cool air coming out of the front, and if it gets too hot, we can sit in there. I guess I'm just kind of rambling on different thoughts as it pops into my head, and the light is getting brighter out here as I look out the door of Jerry's Playhouse. I didn't get this part of the CRP mode, so it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge this year for hunting from it. But I think I'm going to wrap things up and start paying attention now that it is getting daylight. What time is it? It is 6:14 in the morning. So, hope this has been a fun little visit. Take your mind off of whatever you're, you know, stressing over during the day, and just come on a little traveling, meandering conversation with me. So, I've still got plenty of coffee left for this morning. I will say, this is one of the warmest mornings, because when I got out, it was 57 degrees. Usually, it's a lot colder on this part. Oh, I hear pheasants out here in the morning. It's usually a lot colder, but I actually shed some of my clothes because I was hot. Hey, everybody, take care. Have a great one, and we'll catch you next time. God bless.